We're going to kick it off today with AFL and some big scores so far. Port Adelaide over your boys, Carlton, 137.
Yeah. Say it quickly and get it out of the way.
They're done. That's gone. Yep. Western Bulldogs, a good comeback against the Brisbane Lions.
It was, actually.
92-90, the Brisbane Lions, who had a lead at three quarters.
Talk about Fremantle, mate. Where they were just in front for a little while, and then they got stomped on by North Melbourne, only to get run over.
Well,
let's do it
actually with SEN's Inside Football Man. Brett Anderson joins us on the line to talk AFL. Good morning to you, Brett.
Shebex, good to have you back, mate. I've enjoyed your US trip. But the problem is, Shebex, you went to Angel Stadium, my team.
Yes.
At the time, we were 5-2. And then since then, we've lost about 15 games straight.
Now, this has been said about me coming back with Richmond. The fact that they're 4-0. And they may not win another game this year. Now that I'm back in Melbourne.
Tony.
I know.
Interesting observation, Brett. Love it.
Yeah, and I saw them have that big loss against the Texas Rangers, and that just continued over that entire series. It wasn't good, but great to get there. The Angels are my National League team.
American League team.
And the Mets are my National League team.
Very good. No, don't mind the Mets. Very good stuff.
Yeah, it is. Now, let's talk some footy, mate, because there's been some great footy so far this weekend. We'll kick off with the game last night. George was mentioning it. What a fantastic comeback by Freo. North just finding another way to lose a game of footy.
Yeah, I wouldn't like to be a heart doctor for North Melbourne supporters. getting checked out, because that's 300 a goal this year, and they just can't find a way to win those close games. And when they got 28 points in front, you probably thought that they had all the momentum.
Yep.
And they're going to go on and win the game, whether it be close or they're going to kick away with it. They're going to finally break that duck. And to concede two goals in the last 2 minutes, including that snap goal to Shane Kirsten, was devastating, I guess, for a team who's put in so much effort over the first 5 weeks of the season and should, in all rights, have a couple of wins on the board. And here they sit at 0-5, so not good at all for North Melbourne. But you know what? I think the supporters will be really happy with some of the signs that they've seen from a few of their young fellas. And I think that's one of the real positives that they can take out of what is a winless start to the season.
I just want to ask a very simple question. Everyone was saying a couple of weeks ago that Ross Lyon's system, Ross Lyon's coaching technique was, had a use-by date. What have you made of the last couple of weeks and the Dockers' form?
They're probably a bit lucky last week against Melbourne in all respects that they were outstanding for a quarter, but for three quarters they pretty much were controlled by Melbourne. But it shows what you can do if you put the foot on the gas and don't let the opposition have a look in for a quarter. And they were outstanding in the third term last week, and then last night again they probably rode their luck a little bit at times. Fremantle, and whenever you're 28 points behind, so that's 2 weeks in a row that they've been 28 points down and have come back to win. So you've got to give them full credit for that. But they do seem to be scoring. Whilst last night was a little bit more low scoring, they do seem to score a little bit easier on transition. I thought last week they looked a little bit slow in the back half. They've made a few little changes around that. Ethan Hughes came in. They've moved Griffin Logue forward. He spent some time there last night, but he's very athletic. So I just think there's been a few little things that Ross has done. And once again, though, I think when you look at the best players, especially last night when the game was there to be won, it was Mundy, it was Fife, it was Neil, it was Sandilands leading the way again for them. So their best players are standing up where it matters.
Yeah, but the big players, as you say, are standing up, but it's that infusion of youth that's adding another layer, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's probably what's been crying, Fremantle's been crying out for a few years, but Ross has been loath to play some of the kids for whatever reason. And it was probably similar at St Kilda in some ways when he was there, and just having faith and understanding that these kids can't get the job done when they come in. And look, they're going to make mistakes, and look, all players make mistakes, but kids when they first come in are probably going to make a few more, and maybe Ross wasn't as inclined to let that happen as what some other coaches are. But look, they've got some results over the last few weeks, and here we are 3 weeks after thinking that it was all dead and buried and it was going to be another train wreck of a season. Here they are inside the top eight and having some sort of real positivity to the way this season's going to end up.
GWS get their first win at the SCG, their biggest win over Sydney. Lance Franklin kicks his 800th goal, but the talking point's going to be all around Heath Shaw and what he said on the ground.
It was, Shebex. I actually got home last night, picked up a pizza, and I walked in the door, turned on the TV, and I saw the score was 4-0. And then I checked the stats on live stats, and it was the Giants had not touched the ball, not one single possession, for 4 goals going the other way, which was remarkable. And then they kicked the next 9 or 10, and it was a landslide in the opposite direction. As you mentioned, Buddy got his 800th close in there in the last term, and And look, the Giants are an amazing team in terms of when they're able to put their foot down and what they can do to oppositions. Because Sydney, basically, that was their season on the line. And when you look at the selections that they made on Thursday night in terms of bringing guys back from injury, there was no Neefel game last week, so those players hadn't had a run at all. It was a real sign of desperation for me that they had to win that game or find a way to win that game. Otherwise, the season was pretty much gone. And now it's 0-5 it is, but GWS, super impressive. Heath Shaw, as you mentioned, the comment that was picked up, it's an interesting one because people would say that what happens on the field needs to stay on the field. And if the microphone wasn't there, it wouldn't get picked up. And we would know nothing more of that. But seeing it was picked up, that's where the issue is going to lie. And look, obviously it wasn't ideal from Heath, and it's probably 2 weeks in a row that he's had some instances where he would probably take them back. Last week it was with Tom Cleary with his actions and his, I guess, the demonstrative cheering in his face, and which I didn't like, especially the second one. But again, he's going to find himself at the centre of, not some controversy, but it's going to be interesting to see how the AFL and the Giants deal with it.
Yeah, they have to handle it because, you know, it's been heard, unfortunately. And, yep. And he will be spoken to, and I think there will be a price to pay, whether it be suspension
or... So based on that, though, is it the responsibility of the networks not to play that audio?
It's a tough one, isn't it?
You've tried that line with cricket, it didn't work.
Well, yeah.
It's like the stump mic in cricket.
Yep, exactly.
And what's picked up on there. A delicate one, I guess, for the broadcaster. Was it Jason Dunstall? Whoever was commentating the game last night apologised straight away when that came over the microphone. But, yeah, it's going to be a touchy one and a difficult one to see what happens. Suspended, that'd be a big call for something like that. But
certainly you'll have mediation. They'll have mediation. Yeah, they'll bring them in and have a chat to them.
Fine, potentially. But, yep. I think we just need to see how this one plays out.
Adelaide, gee whiz, they're looking pretty good this year.
They know how to score, don't they?
Oh, God. It's that style, it's that transition that I'm really impressed about. It takes me back to the days when, in the early days of the Crows, when they used to really run that ball from the back to the front. And, of course, they had some great targets to go to. That wonderful transition, and you had some terrific movement of the ball. And we're seeing it again. It's lightning fast.
Yeah, off half back, they're devastating, absolutely. And you probably went into last night's games or yesterday's games thinking, well, the tall forwards for Adelaide are going to be a real handful when you consider that Stephen May was out injured, so it was left with Jack Leslie and Cade Collishazmier basically playing as key defenders. And in the end, it wasn't really the tall forwards who got a hold of them. Tom Lynch from the Crows kicked three, I think, and Taylor Walker got a couple more. But it was just the midfield dominance that they ended up having and their ability to push forward and hit the scoreboard. Finding goals from all different angles too. You got a couple from Hampton, a couple more from Menzel. So just their even spread, I think, is the most impressive part that we're seeing at the moment. And they're really tough to try and hold back, especially when they get the ball on turnover anywhere sort of backwards of centre because they go forward so quickly. And rightly now, they're along with GWS, they're the two clear-cut premiership favourites and they're playing outstanding footy. Although Gold Coast battled on pretty well yesterday, having watched the game on replay. Last night, I thought they fought it out quite well in the end because it had a real opportunity to get super ugly, a bit like a few of their early games did. Mm. But I thought the way that they fought that out was commendable. Callum Archie kicking 5 goals too. He's a young player who's probably flown under the radar a little bit, but he's starting to stack some form together. So a few little positives there for Gold Coast. But Adelaide, again, 5 and zip and taking all before them.
Slick. Yeah, slick is the word. Every time you see them.
The Bulldogs were slick too in that final quarter. They sort of took a bit of a time to wake up. Brisbane jumped them early.
Mate, when you're spinning the wheels, you've got so much power. You need a bit of traction. That's what happened.
Well, they finally got some traction. They finally got a lead and they went away with it, Brett.
Probably helped that they could start a kick straight too.
Did it? Gee whiz.
Yeah.
5-13 at half time.
Ouch.
Yeah, first half. And look, Brisbane took all their opportunities and really made them pay. It was a tale of two teams in terms of accuracies and their ability to translate inside 50s.
But Brett, was the poor kicking pressure brought about by pressure, or was it just poor kicking?
I think Brisbane's pressure was quite good, but they did miss a couple of ones that you would think that they would kick in the past. And we've seen that a little bit this year. St Kilda have done it. Melbourne have done it. Geelong did it early last week until they woke up in that final term and really put the foot on the throat of Hawthorn. So we're just seeing teams do miss them, and probably we've mentioned it a million times, I guess, over the last few years, that it's the area of footy that's never really improved. And when you look at the stats, it's gotten worse and worse and worse over the last sort of 10 years in terms of goal-kicking accuracy. It's gone from somewhere near 59% to down under 50%. Mm.
Could it be, Brett, that we're bringing in young athletes and not young footballers as we once did, and because they haven't had the football in their hands from very early on, they've been late to coming to the game, for example,
yep.
and we're not seeing that naturalness in that kicking.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that instinctiveness. If you see boys or girls.
Yeah.
You know, I saw a young Erin Phillips at 14 years of age, in a celebrity game, and we played her, and she was BOG then.
Mm.
She was 14, and you knew that if she was a boy, she'd be the number one draft pick. That's how natural and fantastically poised. And look at her showing again what a natural she is, winning, 20 years later as a mature woman in the AFLW.
Mm.
Amazing.
The easy one for that is, George, how many times have you seen a kid kicking the foot in the street where you live? Very rarely.
You don't see them
anymore. It never happened.
Like, no.
I've said this a few times. I've lived in the same street for the last 7 years, and we've got a few kids living here around at the age where normally when we were young, we'd be out to all hours of the night.
Kick the kick.
In the street. It never happens anymore. And that's where
we find
kids coming through the system. And it's a real sort of bugbear of mine watching under 18 footy and pathway footy of kids who should at that level, especially through the TAC Cup, have better kicking skills than what they do. And you used to be able to go there and kids who were poor kicks would stand out like a sore thumb in elite level junior footy, and now it's the kids who are good kicks because there's just so few of them. So that certainly translates through to goal kicking as well, but also I think the way the game's played in terms of having to get up and back and the miles that they're doing on their during a game, the fatigue factor does play a part. Does it play a part to 10% drop-off? Maybe not that much. Maybe there's certainly some other aspects that come into it, but certainly it's an area of the game that needs to improve. And the Dogs got it right late, and they were outstanding in the end for Bob Murphy's 300th. You don't want to sort of send off a skipper or celebrate a skipper's milestone with a loss, especially to a team who you think you should comfortably defeat. But the Lions were really, really good for, two and a half, three quarters, just couldn't quite hang on and get the job done. But I think they're another team will take a fair bit out of a loss, although they'll be disappointed not to have got the points.
Can I give you another reason too? And you might think I'm absolutely silly for saying this, but the amount of footballs now that they get to use in a game, the football actually doesn't get to be kicked in during a game.
Oh, yeah.
So they're always using hard, inflated footballs, and as their legs get tighter through the game, the football remains hard.
That's
it's not good, becoming softer as they kick it.
That's an interesting point.
Yeah, interesting one, Shebeck. Never really thought of that one. But,
good on you,
Shebeck.
But even when they're kicking the footy, the pointy end of the football starts to get a little bit softer and it gets a little bit easier to kick when it's not a brand new, fully inflated footy. Because they're always grabbing new footies out of the basket, it's just a thought.
Yep.
Maybe an investigative report on inside footy coming up in the next few weeks.
Go down to the Sherman factory and see what we can find.
Good on you, mate. Thanks, BA. Appreciate you joining us today, and hopefully you'll be able to do that for a fair bit of the year.
No worries. Well, just a couple of quick ones. Injuries in the VFL.
Yes,
you go.
Nathan Drummond, unfortunately for Richmond, looks like he's done his knee again. St Kilda, Josh Battle, potential knee issue there for him. And Angus Brayshaw, Melbourne, Casey Demons.
Another concussion.
North Ballarat, another concussion, which starts to become a real concern, I think. They're really stacking up, especially over the last 15 to...
Who was that boy from Brisbane? Was it Clark?
Yeah, Justin Clark has had to retire. So look, I think there's some concern there now, just in terms of Gus and how he goes moving forward. So he had to sit out the second half last night. So a few injuries through the VFL yesterday, which is unfortunate, but a good win for the Tigers against Sandringham and Casey Demons last night. Northern Blues, a great win yesterday with Harry Mackay kicking 3 goals. He has to play next week for Carlton.
Yeah, big win for Box Hill over Coburg and also Port Melbourne over Geelong. Thanks for your time, Brett. Talk soon.
Cheers, boys.